Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Sorry about that. I have been silent. I realized that for about 5 minutes. Had a little bit of a sound problem here. And anyways, thank you for joining us. It's Call-In Friday. I have been attempting to give Dana Durnford a call. He was scheduled to meet with us, but you know, my enjoyment to Dana is that he can call in when he feels like it. He told me last night he'd be here, and he's not on Skype, and I think that's his preferred method. So what I was doing was attempting to call him, and for some reason I was blocking you out, so that was the reason that I wasn't talking to you. So I am going to give Dana a call right now. We're gonna do this correctly because we're connected, and we'll see if he's here. And welcome to Call In Friday. Well, one of the things, if we can't get in touch with Dana, I am going to be discussing is hold on. I'm going to be discussing the chemicals that go into it. I think we're going to go on rewind here, folks, because I cannot tell where we're at. Hello, Dana, are you there?
Hi.
Hey,
Good
Dana.
morning.
Good
I
morning.
smurfed up again, did I? Are you live?
Yes, I am live, and I've been messing up myself. Welcome to the radio show. And in fact, I believe that we're on the air, and I'm gonna send Jules a message through the Facebook. This is how we communicate when I'm on the air, because I had my phone muted attempting to call you. I was kind of nervous that you weren't there. So,
No, I'm always here. It's my fault. I can't believe I've done this morning.
that's all right. Well,
Shocking.
welcome to the show. Look, Dana, if you do not want to, you can skip this if you want. It's no big deal, because you know what? I got a
Absolutely
conversation
not.
going on with a man from St. Louis. He's a health physicist who's pro-nuclear. And his argument, you know why he's pro-nuclear? Because
Sure.
chemicals and coal are far worse.
Oh, sure.
So, but this
And
is what,
go ahead.
well, this is my thing. We were discussing this last week's show. It's not just the uranium, it's the chemical sludge that they have to mix in there to make the nuclear.
Yeah, we can have that big conversation and help them out if you like.
Well, yeah, because you know what? You know the technical stuff, and well, let me give him a phone number. It's 718-717-8296. If you want to call in and speak with Dana Durnford, he does understand the science of it all. I don't. I
I
mean, I
do.
understand the generals of it. He
Yep.
studied it for a long time, but we were discussing this in last week's show that.
Yeah.
Exactly right. It is the chemicals that are far worse. And in fact, even the coal is, we use the coal when we say we have to shut down coal mining because we use it for energy. How much do we use in fossil fuel to get all the maintenance that we use? We still use trucks that use coal. All of our equipment still uses the fossil fuel. It is a massive, massive sinkhole of disaster. It's an experiment that has failed, in my view.
Well, we have to do it. We got no other choice. How else are we going to get any kind of energy? So we got to use coal. We got to use oil. We got to use wood, and all of that is better every day of the week than nuclear. But all of that is
But we
natural
don't
to this
need
planet. We
to.
have we have forest fires all the time. We have underground coal mines that got struck by lightnings. Throughout history and caught fire and burnt for decades or hundreds of years. And that is our atmosphere. That is our environment. That is why the planet is like it is. But the stuff that comes out of there that he's talking about is, say, natural uranium that comes out of the ground when this stuff or out of the coal. And then he says, well, you're releasing all that uranium. And of course, that's got nothing to do with it. There's natural uranium. Your body can't get any more natural in it than it's already there. But once we create it, refine it, and then create all these new elements, then we can aggregate those in our bodies. Whereas natural stuff, we only get what we got in our bodies, what we got. We can't get any extra. Hey, I'm gonna jump to Skype. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. So I will call you right
Okay.
back. Or you'll call
Yeah.
me. Okay.
Yeah. I'm there now. Yeah. Okay. Bye bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, so look, this is a great conversation because this is one of my arguments with the 350.org people, National Resource Defense Fund, who think it's okay to take in money from the nuclear industry. They are killing our children, they're killing our future. It's the only industry, I don't know if it's the only one, but there's definitive medical research that shows that man-made nuclear isotopes harm the DNA and cause great unknown future harm, 8 to 10 generations. Okay, here's Dana. Uh-oh. Dana, are you on the air?
I am so, thank you.
Okay, great. Well, that's you're coming in strong. Maybe you can lower your sound a little bit because I know it's loud for me.
Okay.
There you go. Well, thank you for joining us because really, the health physicist texted me through the Facebook and said he's at work and he can't call in. So I would love to be able to set up an interview with maybe you and him talking, a pre-recorded one in case you start. You know what I mean? Like just people like to pre-record when they because we come on the air at 8, and
Yeah.
so they're in St. Louis, so they're working like right now. He could not
Well, the
possibly.
natural stuff that comes out of the ground is natural stuff that comes out of the ground. Nobody cares about
But
it. It's
this is that,
irrelevant.
it's not that. This is the argument. What I have heard, and this is what they consistently say, the harm that the chemicals are doing to the planet is far worse than nuclear, except what they leave out of the argument, and this is why I call them nuclear liars, because
Sure.
really, they are lying about the chemicals that they're using. It's not just nuclear. And when you explained that, the light went off in my head on how we can get these people to understand not only if they're going to ignore the DNA damage that nuclear does to us because they think it's much more important to save the planet because of the chemicals, because that's essentially their argument.
Well, in order to get the nuclear, go ahead, Lonnie. I didn't mean to cut you off, but in order to get the nuclear, you got to get 400 train car loads of iron ore just to get a gram, and then you got to use a couple of hundred train car loads of chemicals, which is what he's talking about, just to get that gram. And
I
then once you
looked it
got
up, Dana. It's uranium hexafluoride and uranium tetrafluoride are the two most common compounds used in uranium processing. And that's just
uranium
why?
dioxide.
Why are we doing that when we can do solar, when we can
Yeah,
do
we can do
wind?
water, we can do wind, we
I
can do
mean,
air
we
pressure.
can use the natural resources of the planet. Why are we breaking up the earth to get electricity? It's outrageous. I it's beyond my
Yeah, I mean,
comprehension.
that's what we're such a young planet, whether we realize this or not. We're such a young population and if we want to call ourselves civilization, that we've only been in 100 years in the industrial age. It's nothing. It's not even, you're not scratching the surface of history at all. And so throughout history, that is what we got on this planet, is we got an enormous amount of coal, we got an enormous amount of oil, and we got an enormous amount of these products that naturally catch fire throughout history anyway. Even if we weren't here, they would catch fire and burn. That's the way the planet works. That's the way the ecosystem works. And it's like a coal plant. You can live alongside of a coal plant for 20 years, and if you get sick, you move away and you'll be okay. If you drive past a nuclear power plant with your window down and the wind is blowing the wrong way, you suck in a single atom into your body. 20 years down the road, you're liquidating your assets because of that man-made ionizing radiation. This is why we have terrorist laws, this is why we have nuclear waste sites. And this is rightfully so, because the stuff we created it through a process that's so difficult, so expensive, and so much time and energy and chemicals and everything put into it to do this little tiny trick that's irrelevant in comparison if we put the same energy into wood or coal or oil or anything else. Now, I know oil is not going to last forever. I know, that kind of stuff, but that is what we got our whole industry built up on. That's what we got everything built up on. And so we won't move away or try to come up with solutions Because we don't intend to have a future. We have a nihilistic society that wants
maybe
to...
that is it. You know what? Maybe that is exactly it. They don't intend to have a future. And they don't care if the nuclear does. There's definitive information that the nuclear causes harm. Like genetic harm, like sterility, 5 to 6 generations in the future, it causes... genetic sterility.
It mutates and wipes out and destroys and breaks down and weakens the immune systems and the resistance to every organism and every creature on the planet through nuclear. Nuclear is not supposed to be in the solar system. It doesn't exist in our solar system. These elements that we created are the ones we created. We can't find them. Go ahead.
I'm dying to get this out because as we're talking, I heard Dr. Edward Gordon, I think that's his name, Dr. Edward Gordon in Canada.
Right, that's him, yeah.
And Halevy did an excellent 2-part interview with him. And he was talking about it is, we now live in the age of nuclear waste. I was thinking, well, maybe I should retitle the show, Age of Nuclear Waste. He said, because really...
Yeah. I like it.
This is whether we like it or not, we have to manage this. We have got to stop with the nuclear lies. We have got to figure out how to deal with it, what to do, and it is really serious, the egregiousness. But you're right, it has to do with a nihilistic society.
Hey, you know, we can't contaminate a city with coal. We can't contaminate the city with oil because we can decontaminate the city if it's contaminated with coal or oil or gas. We can decontaminate a community that has any kind of chemical, normal chemicals released into the community. But when it comes to man-made radiation, while that really – that is a chemical in one sense, that is elements, it's not like anything in a solar system. And we can't decontaminate it. We can't get rid of it. We can't make it safe again. We can't get – Like, that's why we're worried about what's known as a dirty bomb, where someone might take 1 gram or 2 grams from a chain reaction material and detonate it in a large city, contaminating vast areas of that city and making it... Well, I mean, you can't see it or smell it or taste it or hear it or feel it or pick it up. But if you breathe it in, your body knows it. Your body responds to it. Your body reacts to it. Your body attacks it. Your body can't deal with it. Your body can't get it out of there. It doesn't know. It panics. Your body goes into literally a panic mode. And then... concentrates upon attacking the foreign subject in your body. So if you've got coal in your body doesn't react that way. If you got oil in your body, it doesn't react that way. But if you got man-made ionizing radiation from a chain reaction in your body's attacking it with white blood cells, which is displacing all the red blood cells that's carrying the oxygen in your body. So it's an enormous difference right away. And it does that forever. It does it all day. It never stops until it builds a tumor around it.
So, Dana, would you be willing to have I would love to ask this man who wrote me in St. Louis if you and he could do a joint interview. I'm serious about that because I think we could get the...
Absolutely, yeah.
What has to happen is the bridge between... the nuclear, I mean, these are just regular people.
I get where they're coming from. Yeah.
You know, I call them nuclear monsters, but for me, it's the ones who knowingly deceive their scientific studies. Those are the people who, you know, I have this
article.
He's
a doctor. He's deceiving everybody.
Well, look, no, a lot of doctors, this is the thing. A lot of it's built on bad science. Like this guy, Arthur Weinberg, I've referred to him that 1972 speech he gave to a bunch of scientists in Boulder, he literally called themselves the nuclear priesthood. And he said, we have a responsibility to take care of this forever. And you guys have signed up for it without even knowing it. So to have electricity, this is what you're going to have. Oh, so this, he's sending me a thing saying that naturally occurring, okay, wait a minute, he's saying that decontaminating radioactivity is actually easier than coal and chemicals. No, it's not.
That's why they're wearing all those suits in Japan.
But
is that why Harvard,
not.
Yale, and Berkeley...
There
MIT
isn't a place on the earth that's
Japan?
Been decontaminated. The people in the Marshall Islands still have...
That's right.
One out of 4 children now have birth defects.
They would bankrupt America.
It's one out of 4 children.
Decontaminate Hanford. You couldn't even do it. It can't be done. These are not normal chemicals. You can't just sweep them in a garbage bag. You can't just knock them out the door. You got to put them in a special container and store them for millions of years. So whoever he is, he's fooling himself, and he's refusing to be reasonable. And if I was, I'd just get rid of him. I wouldn't talk to him. He's a smart, educated, articulating person who went to institutions and universities. He can't wrap his mind around it. Don't waste your time.
Look, these are the people we have to waste our time with.
Not on him, but on the people in front of us.
This is where I really believe it's time to bridge the gap. We need the scientists.
I'm just saying he doesn't want to look. He doesn't. Well, he already knows. He's refusing to acknowledge it. When he's educated like that, there's no way he can't know the difference. He can't be that stupid. He can't be that gullible or that naive.
I don't think so, Dana.
He knows the difference. That's why I say the people that are educated, when they say it, they're fucking lawyers.
I think it's based. No, I think you get angry over something. I think you don't understand the academia world. Like, they look at science. Like, they will look at a scientific review based on false premises. It's like, okay, we'll look at everything, but it's kind of like when those scientists, there was like 13 biologists that had some type of a study on the Pacific Coast down in California, and there was Southern California, there's a bunch of people there, and some lady said, well, did you guys test for any radiation? They said, well, actually, we specifically excluded it. That was their mandate. They were trying to find out what's going on with the ocean, but and this is how people do not understand how the International Atomic Energy Agency really controls the conversation, because they control a lot of the endowments. When John Goffman cited it perfectly, this is their. It's the 90% rule that they have adopted from the beginning. They underreport the negative effects of radiation by 90%, and they deny that radiation causes harm. And most of the population is convinced that this health physicist, who, frankly, I respect the science that they do, and I think they have been fed a pack of lies, Dana, based on false science that they have been trained to believe.
No, I've seen evidence that supports what you're saying. I've seen interviews with Tom Brake and radiation experts suggesting that they create material for doctors, and like the typical doctor, because they don't understand the nuclear side the way they think they might, or something like that. And the other guy said, no, that's not a good idea, because a doctor will magnify the nonsense out to all the population. Is how he put it. But if you look back 2 weeks ago or less, you see Atomic Agency, International Atomic Agency,
right.
IAEA, has just released a handbook for physicians, for doctors just
right.
like him. And that book is full of misnomers and
that's
full of
right.
deception.
That's
yeah.
right.
And
that's
so you got a really good point. I'm not saying that.
And
I'm saying that doctor in particular, when he argues repeatedly, he was willing to come on a radio show, then he's going to look like an idiot if he didn't do his research.
No,
he's
going to
come out like a moron. He's going to come out incompetent.
Look, Dana, this is I really like, I don't.
You know, I'm just saying, right? He should think.
I don't call people morons and idiots because they don't know.
No,
or because
he knows, though.
Don't believe so. I think, look, there's a whole community of people living in St. Louis who are living right. They are living in the middle of it. You think if they're not idiots, they have been really brainwashed. This show is about the brainwashing of our modern age. It's not just about the age of fission. Is not just the nuclear pollution. Like, what the heck are we going to do?
Sometimes I can't understand how educated people can't wrap their mind around it. But that's
Brave New World, baby. Have you read Brave New World? It's like,
right, that's true.
I'm here. Hello. They used it as
like a genuine
1984
person.
And Brave New World was like guiding manuals for
the. I naturally assume an educated person is lying when they say they don't know the difference, even though I know that's not true.
No.
I have this tendency, though, because I ran into so many of them that do know the difference, that do come out and propagate the lie, that do come out and try to manipulate the people that are researching the documentation.
It's true. And the other part of that is when people get And then you have to come up. See, Dr. Gordon Edward, I mean, Edward Gordon last night was, this interview was quite compelling. He was saying the worst part about the pollution is that the nuclear industry now wants to abandon it. It's abandonment. In 1972, we had Dr. Alvin Weinberg saying, we have a responsibility as nuclear scientists now to maintain this in perpetuity because the waste is so dangerous to human health. You have created a nuclear priesthood, and we are going to maintain it in perpetuity, and you are going to treat us like gods. That's essentially what he was saying. Now we have 70 years later when they're like, holy crap, this stuff is expensive. There's no way to make money. We can't use it for anything. We're just going to bury it and abandon it.
What Australia is doing,
that's a crime. That is a crime against humanity and the scientists who know how harmful. Because in the nuclear industry, quote, whistleblowers, why do we have whistleblowers in the nuclear industry? Why isn't everything above board? Why do we have cracks at every single nuclear facility? I mean, why is it that now people are just now realizing, like, hey, man, they use all these horrible chemicals to create the nuclear? That's also part of it. And that, why does the nuclear industry contribute millions of dollars to nonprofit, environmental nonprofits? If the, I mean,
And why did they have billions of dollars for security? And then why would a bankrupt America clean up Hanford alone? And I'm not kidding when I say those words. It'll bankrupt the country, and you'll never get the job done in our
And do you know
lifetime.
that they abandon every, right now, do you know that Hanford, they're refusing to let the union, they're kicking the union out up at Hanford?
And they've done that
They're
repeatedly
fighting to have a
for
union.
decades, yeah, where they ostracized anybody that said, hey, wait a second, this is harmful to the people. Hanford, they bring in immigrants all the time. Hanford, they're bringing in day workers all the time to work the difficult spots. When you take in Sellafield, they went to a theater in UK and took it to two back rows to go into Sellafield to fix a problem because the 5,000 nuclear plant workers wouldn't do it. So they went out with a bus with the police on by gunpoint and kidnapped people from a theater. That's fact. That's because it's not like banana or potato chips or walking in the sunshine. And I just naturally freak out every time I hear a professional put up a
I
fight and
know.
say, no, it's not harmful, it's like nature, cold's worse. I just want to throttle these people because you can't really be that stupid, but apparently you can. And you can have a great education. And I run into it all the time. And like I said, I got someone here in the community with 4 degrees. You can't talk to them. You can't even have a conversation with them. They're so pompous and hubris, and they think so much of themselves, and they're so caught up. And yeah, I can understand it. Like if I was a doctor, for instance, and you got all these victims coming at you all the time of drugs and pharmaceuticals and alcohol and just morons on top of that coming through the door, and you just become numb with all these ideologies running at you nonstop, and you're trying to make the biggest buck you can each day. You see 100 people or 200 people, and you gotta diagnose them and get them out the door for the next guy or girl who's waiting their child or elderly. And
It's
they
not,
become numb to
this is the
reality.
thing. This is exactly why the scientific community, why the people in Hanford stay silent. Like, I think I've shared this story a couple times. There was a lady up in Washington who called me about work, and we started talking. She's like, yeah, I worked right up there near Hanford. I work for the Washington State, what is it called? The Forestry Service. She said, look, we saw all the time. We know. We saw double-headed snakes. We saw double-headed, we know it's causing harm up there. We saw double-headed snakes and double-headed deers. And we would find them and we would see them. And you know what? If anybody said anything, you get fired immediately. One of her co-workers suggested that at least we should warn the public about, some of this, and he was terminated the next day. It's
Yeah, up by Yellowstone Park, the SL1 mounted and melted down was a reactor about 50 years ago, 50, 48 years ago or something. And so people go to Yellowstone all the time, right? Well, they used to anyway, I don't know about now, but yeah. And so this place is highly contaminated from a nuclear meltdown that they hid away. And they said there was no, they never even built a container around it because it was 60 miles from the nearest city. And so this is they understood what was going to happen at some point to that reactor. That was the plan. I mean, they took 800 pregnant women. This
when
is what
was,
physicians have done, and injected them with americium and neptunium and plutonium. And those women all died, and the babies all died. Then they dug the babies and the women up without telling their loved ones. This is the doctors, the physicians, the scientists. And they took those bodies and cremated them without telling their loved ones to see where the plutonium went in the body. And they knew these people were going to die down the road, and they followed them. You know, physicians have a whole history of being cruel to the population and calling it science. When if you took their loved ones and done the same science to it, they would lose their minds. But for them to take your loved ones and do that science to it, they won't tell you, and there's no repercussion in their mind for what they've done. And then they'll dig the body up after so they can cremate it to see how much uranium was retained in the bones. Is the epitome of soullessness people, heartless and moralist people. But these are people who went and got that job, got amazing education, blah, 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 and are notoriously unstable people. And that's who they hired on purpose, is that type of person. Because they got that pompous to them. Oh, I'm a physician. You can't tell me nothing. You're not a physician. Kind of a attitude. When that's not reality. It's just, you know me and how upset I get sometimes. Because I deal with this like you all the time, and it has driven me to the point of insanity.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you to do some tapping, Dana. Like, just to tap on your clavicle when you get like that. It'll calm you down. Just seriously, I'll tap for you right now. Because really, it's not worth it. It's not worth us losing our peace. This is why people call us fearmongers. Because it's so upsetting. I'm not interested in causing anybody. You know, like, I agree with you. You know, my science teacher, honest to God, my science teacher thought Fukushima was handled. Like, oh yeah, it's really bad. It's but they're basically dealing with it. I'm like, no, they're not. It's way out. I you know what happened? I had to give a presentation in class, and I gave my question, scientific question, was, does the International Atomic Energy Agency, I think it was, I had to refine the question, but this was kind of a bit, do they misrepresent the harm that nuclear causes? And you know what? At the end of it, she wrote on my paper, I got an A on the paper. She's like, you know what, you've kind of turned me around on this one. Because actually they do. There's lots of scientific evidence that proves that, especially the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in America, they make wild claims. They put things down. Their scientific evidence is minimal. And the deception.
All the radiation studies on humans are based up on a 1 minute exposure.
If you look into it, it's
shocking.
I just looked this up, the SL1 nuclear reactor, and you
right.
are right. People
yeah,
died
right.
there, and it is really, like, it's outrageous.
And the fallout from that can go thousands of miles, heavy fallout. This stuff burnt down, melted down, and there was no one there to stop it, no one there to pour water on it or even try to. Not that you would want to, not that you wouldn't want to be close to it. And then someone has to do that because these people won't tell the truth. And those people are victims. And their children will be victims, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the hospital that treats them, they'll be victims from it.
How far away? Do you know how far away it was from from Yellowstone?
It was fairly close to Yellowstone. It was within, don't quote me, but within around 20 miles of Yellowstone or something. And so the fallout would have been directly throughout all of Yellowstone.
Oh, my God.
Now, they admit that some of Yellowstone was contaminated, right? But they always say, oh, it'll be gone in so many years, like they always say. They'll always say, it's iodine, where iodine has an eight-day half-life. This is the reactors are not made of iodine. They're made of uranium. And the uranium is gone through a chain reaction. It's a different type of uranium than what Mother Nature has. What Mother Nature has, everything on the planet is acclimated to it, and that's just Mother Nature. It's irrelevant. But when it comes to man-made, that stuff, that's why we have the terrorist laws and nuclear waste sites, because we recognize those elements, our body, a single atom, and your body attacks it for decades trying to build a tumor around it. And I mean, that's the real deal when that's happening to your body. So people think about you got a big cut on your body or you had surgery or something like that. And it takes 5-6 weeks for that to to kind of heal up so that you can, you're almost back to normal. But with man-made radiation in your body, you don't see that cut. You don't feel that cut. You don't feel that wound. And that doesn't show up for decades, say, or 2 decades before it's manifested and diagnosed. And then you'll liquidate your assets to come up with the money to try to treat that cancer. And so then you spend the rest of your life, you just spend 20 years being lethargic and lazy because of lack of oxygen, because your body was under attack for that whole time with white blood cells. And now all of a sudden you got surgery and you got trauma on your body and you're liquidating your assets and you took this radiation treatment and killed all the cells in your body, which is unbelievably bad for the body to do that to your body. The body is toxic just by that. So you like normally you would treat cancer with natural stuff like dandelion and turmeric and stuff like this, where you have all these, like turmeric is 1,600 studies on it, how good it is for your body. We have this backwards way of thinking in society because of the nuclear industry. That's the only reason we're in the boat, is the nuclear industry is lied constantly to everybody. Easily provable lies, already been flushed out lies, and that they're on their last legs as the planet is on its last legs. We have an extinction event playing out in the Pacific Ocean where every species starved to death. We have the glaciers are missing from the mountains of British Columbia. No one's bothered mentioning it. We have an extinction event of the insects along the coastline, the birds along the coastline, and the animals in the ocean. All of them starving to death, all of them emaciated, all of them without any kind of, you know, after Chernobyl, the bacteria in Chernobyl's forest was the first thing to disappear. And those little microscopic animals and creatures in the forest were the first to disappear and permanently to disappear.
Right.
And so now the trees don't break down. So when you have a forest fire, it's a vicious forest fire. And all it takes is a lightning.
That's probably why Canada has that, because Dr. Gordon, I did not know this, but Canada has been uranium mining for a long time. They're one of the bigger sellers of uranium around the world.
So one of the worst ones.
SL nuclear reactor site is 175 miles away from, and actually Yellowstone is east of there. It's a little bit upwind and east.
There's no such thing as upwind. The wind blows different directions all the time.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it's up.
I'm just saying,
it's,
right?
It's north. It's a little bit northeast, but not very far. It's
of the SL1.
It's two and a half hours away from the SL1 reactor site.
And by the wind, it's how far, you know?
Right.
Crow flies a lot straighter.
Well, with a nuclear reactor, 175 miles is a disaster. Like, if you have a real meltdown like they did,
175 miles.
Look at how far.
I take your word for it. I just couldn't
remember. I looked on the map. I put it in the directions. It's right downwind of Idaho Falls. Also, Idaho Falls is probably.
Well, wherever it's to, within a 360 degree, any direction, it doesn't matter because the wind will blow that direction. Not only that, the stuff irradiates everything around it, and then that becomes liberated into the environment too. Like, just like a screwdriver can be magnetized on a car battery without hurting the car battery, without taking away from the car battery, without changing the car battery. That's what radiation does to rocks and leaves and grass and animals and insects and everything else in that environment and bacteria. And
Okay, so listen to
go,
this.
Go ahead with what you were saying. I cut you off.
I wanted to ask you about this one. We have about 20 minutes, so I'd love to hear you talk about this. He also said to me, our largest dose of radiation is naturally occurring radon.
Yeah, we can't get any more in our body than is already in our body. It doesn't matter how much radon you walk past or you breathe in. You can't get any more in your body than you already have in your body. Your body is acclimated to it through genetic superior selection. And so radon and potassium-40... and the natural uranium and the rubidium and the natural, well, look, there's 5,500 elements on the planet in the solar system. 160 of them are emitters. They can't emit enough energy. None of those 160, like the radon, like the uranium, like the rubidium, like the potassium, they can't mutate a fruit fly. And the best way to look at it is a gram of natural stuff is about 160,000 atoms. Not everything in natural is going to have an emitter to it. But a gram of man-made uranium Now, $160,000 for natural stuff is like, say, take a bad flashlight with a really weak battery, a garbage battery about to die, and turn on $160,000 of those flashlights. That is one way to look at it, even though that's not true. But it's not that powerful. But if you look at it that way, that was one way. And then man-made was 88 times 37 billion per gram of high-powered flashlights. That's the difference. That's the enormity. A gram of natural can't even power a flashlight. A gram of man-made can power 333,000 watt heaters in your home for 9 months. The difference is so dark and so different. And then when you get it into your body, it's the same kind of energy. Whereas natural, your body can't hold anymore, and so you excrete it out. It equalizes, known as homeostasis, and that doctor knows the difference between homeostasis and homeostasis. And homeostasis, where it can't regulate in your body anymore, where cruise control regulates the speed of your vehicle and the thermostat regulates the temperature in your house. That's what your body does to nature. It's called homeostasis. But man-made, we can sequester it till you got extra 10 pounds on you. You can sequester 10 pounds of man-made into you. If you were in the wrong area, you'd be dead long before that. But your body can keep aggregating more and more and more and more. And so by saying that nature is somehow equal, it is they're not willing to look at all the facts. I know it's more fun to call them names, but it's basically they're not looking at all the facts.
I think what happens is people are just – look, this is one of the things I realized when I was looking at the issues in St. Louis, is you cannot separate – that's why last week when we had that conversation, when you really explained the difference, how many chemicals go into processing the nuclear – that thought never occurred to me, because where there is nuclear pollution – there's always chemical pollution. They always go together. And that's why, like, the nuclear industry, this is one of the things how they did underreport the negative effects of radiation by 90% they basically have a general rule, and the NRC accepts this. If you can point to anything else, if a disease is caused by anything else, if a scientific study will show that it's caused by anything else, they exclude radiation off the table immediately and say, oh, radiation didn't cause that chemical caused that.
Dr. Raymond Gilmedi. Go ahead. Dr. Raymond Gilmedi from Loveless Respiratory Research Institute in New Mexico puts that baby to bed. He done 94 peer-reviewed studies on beagle dogs and beagle puppies, folks, for 35 years. He's not the only Dr. Raymond Gilmedi out there killing dogs all day, every day for 35 years with americium and neptunium and curium and plutonium. And no matter how small the aerosol was, the dogs died within 3 to 5 years. All the dogs, 90% of them died from bone tumors. So plutonium is, a lot of people say, well, you know, you'll pop a hole in your lung. Yeah. And then it goes into your bones. It's a bone sinker. Same thing with strontium, where calcium goes into the muscle.
He was attempting to find the smallest amount of plutonium that would affect the dogs. That would
for
be
35 years, no matter what dose they gave the dogs died. Yeah.
And no matter how tiny.
No matter how tiny it was. Yeah, and so a single atom, you put 2 million atoms on the head of a needle from a chain reaction, because these are completely different atoms. You took one of them out, then, because a dog's lifespan is shorter than ours. It's like a mouse will have many generations in a year, but it takes us a century to have many generations through breeding. But with the dogs have the same models as humans, where their body function, they get flus and stuff like that. They have the same kind of issues as humans. So the dog studies are really telling. No dog ever survived. Every dog died. Most dogs had at least 3 different types of tumors, livers, lungs, and bone tumors. Usually the bone tumor. 90 out of 144 dogs in one study were all bone tumors, but they all had competing tumors. And so there's nothing about man-made. We recognize that, anybody that studies it even a little tiny bit. But if they go to the puke machines, to the United Nations, to UNSCLEAR, to the atomic agencies, these are made up of all of these groups. You put them all together, there's only 100 people. And these people are on each of the same boards. And these people, we flushed them out, a lot of these people. They're Kathleen Higley from United States. You got Jerry Thomas from UK. And so these people are radiation experts and come out and say it's like a banana or a potato
That's
chip.
Right. They're the
over
sellers.
And over and over and over.
And they're the ones who create the nuclear scientific's peer-reviewed studies also. So
and
they're the ones who do
they also review the studies.
Yes.
So when people create a study, they're the ones who are going to peer review it. They send it to those people.
That's right.
And so they won't peer review it.
And they're on every board here
right,
in Oregon.
The same
they're on
these...
everything. You know, we're talking about them using homeless people, and they've done this. This is what the nuclear industry does. Do you know that there's something called the Green Run? Mimi Gurman and I were talking, and she said, like, oh, the Green Run. Do you know about the Green Run? This was a secret U.S. government release of highly radioactive nuclear fission products on December 2nd and 3rd, 1949, at the Hanford Plutonium Production Facility. They were supposed to be detected by the U.S. Force Reconnaissance. They released it because they wanted to see what would happen, how it would affect people. And
right.
People,
at the same time, they got local people and retired employees to go sit in fields.
Uh-huh. The
yeah.
radiation was distributed over populated areas and caused the cessation of intentional radioactive releases at Hanford until 1962, when more experiments commenced. I mean, it was really unbelievable. I did not know. This
yeah,
is the no, thing, like the SL-1
prisoners.
Nuclear reactor, you know, the uranium mines, like, doing this radio show and interviewing people, honest to God, I'm having like my own Scooby-Doo moments almost every single week. I'm like, I have no idea. Like the SL-1 nuclear reactor, you know, that stuff doesn't go away. When you have a nuclear
right.
meltdown and it blows up, kablooey, it goes all over, you know.
There's some good documentation.
All over that mountainside. All over. East
yeah.
of that.
And then
it's
it washes
everywhere.
Down. It gets caught up. It radiates everything around. It gets into the water table. And we're talking about an actual reactor. That's a mobile reactor brought out there on purpose to melt down on purpose so they can study those areas. These people knew what they were doing way back in the day, and they continued to do it until they radiated the whole country. And like India done it, Pakistan done it, Russia done it. Other countries have done this. And they know what they've done. Those scientists are well aware they have a nihilistic outlook on the future.
Wow.
And they don't have any kind of checks and balances to hold them responsible. And then their peers look at it and say, oh, you know, it's like natural stuff.
Yeah, you're
and,
right. Oh,
and
yeah.
so you get really, like, at the beginning of the show, I got really frustrated. It was a little bit of swearing, a little bit of yelling.
Hey, hold
Vanya,
on.
I woke up when you phoned me. My alarm didn't go off for some reason.
I'm going to add someone to the call. Hold on just one second. Good morning. You're on the air with Dana Durnford and Lonnie Clark on the Age of Fission radio show.
Good evening, or good morning, Lonnie. This is Candace in Ohio.
Hi, Candace.
Is this call in Friday, honey?
Yes, it is. Thank you for calling.
I want to just tell Dana how much I love him.
Thank you, honey. Yeah, we know. We know. I love you, too. Thank you. And you work hard. I've seen you in the conversation so many times in the chat room, so we appreciate it. Thank you.
Since October 25th, 2013, when they made the secrecy law. You are fantastic.
Great.
And I give you accolades. I love what you've done. I believe there should be a documentary on Dana Durnford, Our Spirit on the Water. Our Spirit on the Water, going back to your history where you actually were in the water and what you saw and all those things and how it developed. And then
that's a good point.
The life.
Yeah,
and then Jim. And then now.
Well, we have the film footage, Candace. I mean, Dan, that's what Dana did. For those of you who are listening maybe for the first time, Dana Durnford decided, now, mind you, he was recuperating from a serious work-related incident that made him bound to the bed, basically, for 7 years. And he was recuperating, and when studying, now, I followed him on YouTube. This is how he found him was because YouTube is the only place you can get a lot of the real information, because we have such suppression by the media here. But Dana decided, you know what, if no one's going to go out there and look, doggone it, I'm going to go look. So we crowdfunded. He got a boat and went up there, and they even crowdfunded underwater cameras. He went with his dog and made a few trips with friends. After a few times, his friends, for one reason or another, which I never understood, didn't go with him. He went by himself, I think because the boat was really too small.
Yeah, I couldn't afford. We didn't raise enough money. I mean, that original couple of months when I had three people on the beaches doing the Expeditions for Life for Fukushima, that was just so much money. I couldn't justify it anymore. I couldn't do it. I couldn't come up and raise that kind of money to keep it going. And so even when I went out by myself, we'd done 260 altogether, but I done 5 months on the ocean by myself. And, you know, I was stuck in places with nothing, no food, no fuel, a number of times. And I just wouldn't quit until I'd done the whole coastline, until we documented it and put that up at the nuclearproctologist.org and showed that we had an extinction event. And, you know, when I finished all those expeditions and finally came ashore, they arrested me right away, demonized me and attacked me. And all that done was
well, you know, interestingly enough, the laws that they used had only just passed in May.
It was only used one time before.
That's right.
On top of that, yeah.
It was all brand new. And the reason they did it is because the situation is grave. They don't – I mean, it's really ridiculous, the whole idea. Instead of protecting humanity and telling us, hey, take care of yourself and, you know, do things that will protect your family and protect your future.
I can't imagine these people doing it.
No, I can't imagine it either. And you know what? If people want to – this is what I think. I honestly believe this. Like, I don't think – I said this about a year and a half ago before I even knew about the whole St. Louis and the uncovering. For me, St. Louis is like an onion. It's unpeeled, and boy, man, do I see it. But I don't think that World War II ever ended, and I think the Nazis infiltrated the United States, to be honest. I think that's kind of what happened. I mean, we have Mengele. We have mad science gone mad. I mean, Hitler and his crew would be proud of what was produced in the United States.
I mean, they injected 800 pregnant women with americium and plutonium.
Oh, my God.
You cannot possibly get – and uranium. They can't get any worse than that. And these people, they knew they were going to die. They followed them until they died. And this was academics. This was scientists. This
right
was
now,
physicians.
People. Right now.
This is the what was it they call it? The Hippocratic Oath, where they wouldn't hurt anybody, and their job was to protect people. They immediately abandoned those morals, not that they had them, and then utilized their power, and their position, and their education, and their degrees to bludgeon any opposition. Oh, you're not an academic. You're not a scientist. And why they might be, they are known and easily provable, lying, dangerous, murdering people. These murdered people. And yet they are put up on pedestals. And
that's
the most outrageous thing imaginable. That's the most disgusting and despicable part of our society, that we should hang our heads in shame, or we should raise our voices in indignation.
Well, but the first thing is people do need to acknowledge that the harm is being done and that they are straight up lying. And people need to, I mean, I don't understand why people don't love their families enough to just go, wait a minute, we can't take this. I mean, essentially, we're being poisoned by the pharmaceutical industry. Our food supply is being poisoned. Our water supply is being poisoned. They're destroying the planet, and we're going, wow, gee, And I stand out on street corners by myself because I'm, you know, pretty desperate. Like, what do we do? I'm on the radio 3 times a week. I write my congressmen. I write my senators.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
get violent. I'm not going to be violent ever. I'm not a violent – I don't believe in it. I really believe in peaceful. The only way that we can go through it is through peace. I don't think you can fight.
If somebody comes up and attacks you with a knife, what do you do? Do you say – I'm not.
No.
I don't have a beef with you. Do you trust?
No, I wouldn't.
Try to defend yourself.
I would.
Just asking
a question. Yes, I would defend myself. Yes, I would.
Should people defend themselves if somebody else is attacking them?
Yes.
Is anybody out there, like that physician that we were talking about earlier, if he's being attacked on the street, and somebody come up and defended him, would he appreciate it? And if someone knocked him down and were about to really hurt them and injured him seriously where he would die down the road, would he appreciate someone trying to stop that? Of course he would. But he can't see it that way because it's not violently in your face like that. But that is exactly what happens when you encounter man-made nuclear. You got attacked by thugs, and that the effects are going to show up down the road. If I shoot somebody, I got charged with attempted murder. If they die 2 years later from that bullet, I'm charged with murder. That's what nuclear is. It's no different. They shot you with nuclear, and then a decade or so down the road, or less, who knows, or a couple of decades, you die, or and you get seriously injured. You liquidate your assets because of that injury, because of that person is still out there now claiming it's like a banana or a potato chip and walking in the sunshine. The doctor that treats the cancer victims from around nuclear power plants, 6 times more breast cancer around a nuclear power plant, up to 90% more child deadly leukemias around nuclear power plants. But they should be looking for autism. They should be looking for diabetes. They should look for Alzheimer's and dementia long before cancer shows up. There's 1,800 diseases.
That's right. But you know what? This is the thing. This is like one of the most egregious things. They even on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission website, it says for every 2 rads of radiation in the air, and these are old standards, they accept 32,000 additional leukemias a year. And now leukemia kills you. And 225,000 birth defects, which causes early death and horrible quality of life. 225,000 per year. That's what they accept as normal. So they accept death and mutation to have nuclear.
Right.
Why do we how can anybody accept that as a premise?
How many people would die from solar? How many people would die for wind? Now, they say the problem with all of that is you can't store the energy at nighttime, right?
That's
but
not
you can.
True.
You can.
That's not true.
If you were to build...
That's old technology. Like, yeah.
No, even if you were to build air tanks, because I know you're running out of time here, but if you were to build big volume tanks, and instead of using batteries, you stored it as air, because air will store for infinity, pressure air, so to speak, right? Then you would solve your energy crisis for night times. And then solar and wind will become perfectly viable because you stored the energy in what's known as just cascade tanks, like diver tanks, high-pressure tanks. And then those tanks can power anything. It only takes 30 PSI, but those tanks can hold 5,500 PSI. And so 30 PSI can run your whole house. That's how that works.
That's right.
And so that technology is simple. The most abundant thing on the planet
is
iron.
It's not even just for me, really, Dana. It's not just the technology. It's the lack of science. We really need our scientific brains, the people that understand the stuff that are the academia, to put their minds in. How, like Dr. Gordon said, how are we going to manage the waste? We are in the age of fission. We are in the age of nuclear waste, and it is a responsibility for us to figure out how to manage it, how to mitigate the harm, how to deal with it instead of the constant denial. Because otherwise, it is exactly as you said. We have a nihilistic society where people just go, "Okay, who cares about our children in the future?" That's essentially what you're saying.
Solar and wind are free.
That's right. That's the
Candace,
answer.
I'm sorry, Candace, you're still here. Good. My apologies. Yeah, no, I thought you were gone. I would have reached out to you if I had realized you're still here. And so,
no, I can't call you on the phone because I don't have international calling. So, but I did try.
Yeah. No, that's okay, Candace. I know.
Well, look, we appreciate that. You were right. They are free, and that's why we're not having it, Candace, because it's all about the M-O-N-E-Y, which is why they all stay silent. They need their J-O-B-S. They're just over brokes. You know what I mean? Like, really, it is an out.
Well, if the truth comes out, all of them becomes criminals immediately. All of them can't look their friends or families or loved ones in the eye immediately. None of them can look their neighbors or their students in the eye immediately. All of them become ostracized immediately. They all have to hide it.
Well, look, this is...
They stand together, they all fall separately.
Yes, but you know what? This is a thing. It's kind of like my friend who... I have a friend of mine who was badly abused as a child, sexually abused. He started to perpetrate against his own children and turned himself in. And he said, you know what? You have to face yourself at a certain point, and that's the only way you're going to live and move forward. And so we have perpetrated some big crimes on this planet, and we need to face them. And this is why I tell people, put your courage feet on. Yeah. We have 10, 15 seconds. Please go to nuclearproctologist.org. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, everybody. Candace, for joining us. Put
Thank
your
you,
courage
Candace.
Feet
Bugs
on.
Candace.
Take action wherever you think is necessary.
This is Ozzy Skateboard.